Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, the show that tackles topics important to you and your family. Finances, food, education, technology, and everything in between. We've got it covered on Mom Talk. Now, Mary Donnellan on Mom Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mom Talk Radio. This is Mary Donnellan in for Maria Bailey, who is traveling with her family. It is a pleasure to be with you today. It is the second week of April. We celebrated Easter and Passover last week, and here we are speeding into April. I have now officially a 18-year-old and a 16-year-old who both had birthdays last week. So happy birthday to my Paul and Grace. And my 18-year-old is off to college and going to Marquette. Very, very exciting time. So if anybody out there, listeners, have seniors in high school, congratulations. It's such a exciting and for mommies, a bittersweet time because he's getting ready to go far, far away. He's going up to Marquette and we're down in South Florida. So I'm a little worried about the cold, but he'll be okay. And I want to quickly mention our sponsors. We have Premama, who is the prenatal vitamin that you can drink in powder form. You can add it to a favorite cold beverage, smoothie, yogurt, anything non-carbonated. And it's a sleeve of powder you add in and mix it up. It's got doctor-recommended vitamins and nutrients that are important for a healthy baby and a happy mama. Go to drinkpremama.com, and you can find out all the places where you can buy it, including CVS, Target, Amazon, specialty vitamin stores, and follow Drink Premama on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I'm also pleased to welcome a new sponsor as of a few weeks ago, Sleep Buddy, sleepbuddy.com. You'll find information about this complete sleep system for kids. And it basically is a very soothing nightlight that you program to go on when your child is supposed to stay in bed and go off when they can get up. So it's at night, good for night times and naps. And if your child is in a crib and moving to a bed or currently transitioning from crib to bed or won't stay in their bed at night, which I had one of those and it was a long, many sleepless nights, you'll want to check out sleepbuddy.com. It's also available on Amazon. It is under $50, I believe. So it's a very, very good investment for a good night's sleep, which is priceless. And we have a great show lined up. We are going to be talking to Angela Santomero from she's going to be talking about her new book, which is Preschool Clues. And we're joined by Angela Cuff, who is the author of What a Tragedy. And it's also, she's going to be talking about travel, actually. So if you've been on spring break or heading out on spring break, you'll want to listen to that segment. And we're also joined by Sarah McKenzie. She is a speaker, podcast host, and it's the Read Aloud Revival podcast. And she'll be talking about reading to your kids. And all of the guests that we'll talk to today and any past shows will be available on momtalkradio.com. The links to the websites we mentioned, as well as shows, past shows that you can listen to at momtalkradio.com. So we have a great show lined up. Stick around. We'll be right back.
This is Mom Talk Radio, the number one podcast for busy moms. Mom Talk Radio.
This is Mary and for Maria on Mom Talk Radio, and it is my distinct pleasure to welcome Angela Santomero. She is the author of Preschool Clues, Raising Smart, Inspired, and Engaged Kids in a Screen-Filled World. Boy, don't we all need that. The book is available everywhere. And you will know Angela from her impressive resume. She's been called the modern-day Fred Rogers by his wife. She's a co-creator of Blue's Clues, which was one of my favorite when my oldest was little. Creator of Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood, Creative Galaxies, Super Why, Wish and Proof, all those terrific, terrific kids shows. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Angela.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
So this is a practical parenting guide. Tell us a little bit about what our listeners can find in the book.
Well, basically what I've approached every show that I've ever done with a child development background. And so I've kind of cracked all of my shows open and taken the clues out of them that we can use in a healthy media diet in selecting the shows that we want for our kids and using media to help us in parenting. And then using the philosophy, let's say, about pausing that we show on the shows in our parenting lives every day.
And I love that. So you have we have a lot of clues, but let's talk about the top, let's say, three: play, pause, and repeat. Talk about play really quick, what that clue is about for parents.
Yes, sure. So these are universal truths of preschoolers, and the idea of play is something that I've studied and we've looked into in terms of being something that is how preschoolers talk. It's their language. And basically we're saying how much we respect them when we get on their level and we either watch them play, or we honor their play, or we play with them. Sometimes they're working out problems in play. There's just so much that we can learn from play. And then I also talk about, like, I use examples of my shows almost the way you would use examples of your kids or if you were a teacher in a classroom. And so I show some of those playful moments of how we work out problems and how we solve them through play.
Last week's show was a guest who had talked about learning through play. She owned a preschool center. So she was saying almost the same thing, which is really, really awesome for kids. The second clue is pause. I really like this one because we tend to be so busy and let's move. But tell us what pause means to a preschooler.
Yeah, it's almost its own philosophy, right? So, mm-hmm. you know, if we take the learning through play as an idea and we use Blue's Clues as an example, when Steve looked directly to the camera and paused after asking a question, we had this like signature 4-beat pause, which feels like an eternity on television. And actually, I think it feels like an eternity when you're talking to your own preschooler too. But it's amazing what you get from them when you give them that time, right? And we're giving that time to think and to process and to formulate their own opinion. And at the end of the day, I feel like what we're teaching them is that they have a voice and they have something to say and we want to hear it. And obviously, as we see with older kids, that voice can make such a difference in the world. And I think at the end of the day, that's what we're trying to do.
I have two teenagers and an 11-year-old, but even the teenager, my oldest son, he's quieter. So I have to make myself, that's a very good point, I think, even for older kids, because I have to make myself pause to listen to him because his sisters would just talk right over him and so would I, you know, so very, very
interesting. It works with my husband too, definitely. All ages.
Very good point. And that brings back so many memories with Steve pausing. I remember when we were first getting, you know, that show just became so wildly, Blue's Clues was so wildly popular. And I thought, oh, that pause. And everybody stops talking and listening. And what's the pause for? And then you realize it's the pause because these kids start talking back to the screen. And my son did anyway. So it was really mm-hmm. interesting. Great philosophy. So, and then clue three, repeat. Tell us about that.
I mean, I think, you know, preschoolers want to read the same book over and over and over again. And really, if we use repetition, it's the key to mastery, but it's deliberate repetition. It's how we scaffold the information and make things a little bit harder or give them a little bit more information each time they play either the same game, watch the same episode, they're learning something new or looking at something new. And basically what we're saying is that repetition they're doing for a reason, and it is so that they can master the concepts. Because again, at the end of the day, like when we're educating through media, we don't want kids just to learn what it is that we're putting on TV. We want them to take these lessons and use them in their lives.
The title of the book, when you talk about engaging kids in a screen-filled world, is there a place where kids can use screens? You know, like you said, this is how we're engaging with the kids one-on-one or, you know, down on their level. But is there a place for media? I mean, you're in the media world. What do you tell parents?
Yeah, I just think that we need to advocate for really good quality media. And really what I want to do is start that conversation about what a healthy media diet looks like for kids, and that we can fill our media yes list, like that we can have shows that we've either watched an episode of it, we've done some research, we understand what it's about, and then that's something that kids can actually, they can watch without any, we can have no guilt about it. There's something that we think that they're going to learn from, and also that we can use it to our benefit. It, right? I have an example in the book where a mom knows that their child is having a problem sharing and literally chooses the Daniel Tiger episode that has that particular theme in it. And so that instead of solving the problem for your preschooler, we're giving them some information through story, which is what media and screen time can be used for, that helps them come up with their own solution to the problem.
Right, right. So, and you mentioned that show, Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood. Is that still being produced? My youngest is 11, so I'm kind of out of the preschool TV market. Tell us what's going on in your projects that are currently going on, and what's coming up for you.
Yeah, Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood is the legacy property of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and that is our smash hit right now. That's like, for preschoolers, that's like the Blue's Clues of preschool right now.
Okay, okay, awesome.
And so there are all these little musical strategies that we use every day to help kids with sharing, with even remembering that when you have to go potty, you have to stop and go right away, or when you feel so mad that you want to roar, take a deep breath and count to four. Like, there are all these little musical strategies that we show through story, and that, again, through repetition, we're hoping kids are and what we're seeing in our research and even in summative research that kids are owning this information. And I think that's another difference about what I do in terms of media is that everything's research-based. Everything is formative research-based, where we want kids to be learning this at the end of the day, and we will make sure that they are. So we rewrite scripts. We're working on storyboards. We go into the classroom to just make sure that we're meeting our goals. So that's what I'd love to start that conversation so parents understand what goes into really good quality media that you can find not just in my shows, but that you can look for across the screens. And then the more you interact, right, having that pause either on a screen in a show or in a great game that kids, there's a goal at the end of the day for the game, let's say, you're practicing those skills, right? So there's definitely room and a value for really wonderful, high-quality media for kids.
And you know what?
It's not going anywhere, right? Screen time is not going anywhere.
It's not really. And the younger, like you see kids, these young kids in a shopping cart at the store. And, you know, you're right. You really want, now you're advocating for the quality of that media experience for our kids at the beginning of, you know, when they grab the first screen they see. So, really excellent. So AngelusClues.com is the website. The book, again, is Preschool Clues, Raising Smart, Inspired, and Engaged Kids in a Screen-Filled World. Thank you so, so much, Angela. And when you mention the research that you do and all that, it shows. It shows in the quality of your program. So big fan right here. So thank you so much for joining us. And when we come back, we return with a spotlight on moms. We'll be right back.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
And before we break, let me just tell you about Mom TV, the place that you need to go online when you want to see what we're doing here on Mom Talk Radio. We have videos for and by moms, everything that you can think of, all the subject matter that relates to a mom, everything for how to feed your child to product reviews. So if you're thinking about a stroller, go to Mom TV. If you're thinking, oh my gosh, I don't know how to prepare for back to school season, go to Mom TV, your video destination online, where you can find and watch information that is relevant to you as a mom. It's a great place, and we hope you'll join us on momtv.com.
This is Mary and for Maria on Mom Talk Radio, my favorite segment, the spotlight on moms. I'm pleased to welcome Christy Emanuel. She is the mother of three children. She blogs at stainedwithstyle.com and tweets at stainedwstyle, which is the shorthand for with. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Christy.
Thanks for having me.
You would like to talk about moving from conventional products to organics. And of course, it's something we all aspire to, especially when we're feeding kids. Tell us a little bit about your experience, your journey through that, from conventional to organic. Was it at a young age, after you had children, that kind of thing?
It started, honestly, when my mother was diagnosed with breast cancer. And I was in college, and her doctor said to us, stop eating chicken with antibiotics and hormones. And that began the slippery slope of moving from conventional products to organic. Well, then I had my first child, and I was pregnant, and I went to the doctor, and they said, hey, here's this list of products you can't use because it's not safe for the baby. And I was like, well, if it's not safe for the baby now, why is it safe for the baby when she comes out?
And that's a good point.
So I started researching, as most moms do, and I started finding out that all of my favorite beauty products, let's just start there because that's the biggest pain, had a bunch of nasty chemicals in them. I don't know that you want me to mention names, but they all went in the trash, and it was expensive stuff. Mm. And I spent literally years trying to find products that were comparable, kind of crunchy, that worked. And I'm still working on it, but it's better.
So tell us, actually, I don't want to know about the bad ones. Tell me the ones that you found, because I mean, I'm not, as much as I would love to be, I'm not organic, but it's interesting to know if you've done a lot of research on it.
Well, I have. And, I think probably the most important thing that women need to stop using right now is conventional antiperspirant and deodorant.
Mm, okay.
With the aluminum and things that cause Alzheimer's and breast cancer that they know of in those products, that's just something you need to throw away right now. It's not easy to switch because to be honest, with all the chemicals that are in there, your body will go through a detoxification process where it seems like none of it is working. And there are some really good blogs and articles out there that talk about how to detoxify your pits before you start using crunchier products. No, it's true. It's a thing, because you really just smell bad. And I, you know, I give it the true test. When I try a new product, I go to the trade shows and I just load up on natural deodorants and I try them all. And I do the not shower, go to the gym, let's give it the real test. And I found a few that really work that make you not stink.
Okay.
And Schmidt's is a brand I really, really like. It's very commercially available. You can get it on Amazon. I mean, if moms can't get it on Amazon, can't buy it anywhere.
Right. I hear you.
But yeah, I know, right? There's another one that's a little bit of a smaller company, and it's called Smarty Pit. It has a probiotic in it that's supposed to fight the odor-causing bacteria, whatever that means, but it seems to work. Right. Earth Mama Organics, they just rebranded. They used to be Earth Mama Angel Baby. They have all those great prenatal things where you know, the teas and the things for after you give birth for comfort for mommy. Anyway, they just came out with a line of pregnancy and breastfeeding safe deodorants, antiperspirants that work. I'm using it now, as a matter of fact. And for men, I have to throw in there Burt's Bees. They have a men's deodorant that my husband's been using for several years. Again, you can get it on Amazon. It works really, really well.
All right. So let's talk about then, what are you blogging about these days on stainlessstyle.com?
Sure. Well, I talk a lot about natural and organic products that help people, that are comparable to conventional products that people are already using to help with that transition. I talk a lot about easy dinners for family, easy, healthy dinners. I love my
like
Instant
that.
Pot. And I sort of swear by my Instant Pot as a daily tool. And I have a lot of recipes for moms, you know, that make dinner easy
Great.
And healthy.
Awesome. You know what? I just heard that word. Instapot? Is that what you just said?
Instant Pot.
Instant Pot. Yes. I had not heard of that ever. And then I've heard of like three, you're the third person to tell me about that this week. So it's supposedly an awesome tool. It's like it's better than the crock pot, I guess.
Yes. Well, because it is a crock pot, but it's also a pressure cooker. You can make hard boiled eggs in it. I got rid of my rice cooker. It does. You know, it makes rice, it makes oatmeal. I make yogurt in it. Now I know that's a little bit on the crunchy spectrum, but we
that's
make
okay. That's what your brand is.
Right, right. Well, we make hard boiled eggs by the dozen. It makes mashed potatoes at Thanksgiving so quickly. You just throw in your washed potatoes and put it on steam for I think 20 minutes or so, and then throw them right in your blender, your KitchenAid mixer, and it's done. No boiling, no.
stainwithstyle.com. Thank you so much, Christy Emanuel, for joining us. And we'll be right back with this episode of Mom Talk Radio with Sarah McKenzie. Stay with us.
Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend. Now, Mary Donnellan on Mom Talk Radio.
And on this segment of Mom Talk Radio, I'm pleased to welcome Sarah McKenzie. She is an author, speaker, and a podcast host. And the podcast is the immensely popular Read Aloud Revival podcast. And her website is readaloudfamily.com. And get this, she homeschools 6 kids. My goodness, you're busy. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, it's so good to be here with you.
Oh, thank you. You have to carve your day up into nice scheduled chunks, I'm sure.
yeah, so it takes a little bit of, you know, circus logistics. The 6 kids.
Yeah, right? I used to call my household, organized chaos. So let's talk about your podcast really quickly. How long have you been hosting the podcast, and what can our listeners get out of it, and where can they listen?
We've been doing the podcast we're coming up on 4 years. It's called Read Aloud Revival, and you can find all the episodes at readaloudrevival.com. And it's a podcast where we try to help parents make meaningful and lasting connections with their kids through books, because I feel like as parents today, we have so many demands on our time and attention. And I know that most of the parents I know, as well as myself, my my deepest heart's longing really is to connect on a meaningful level and help my kids grow in empathy and compassion and prepare them for success. But at the same time, I really want to connect with them. And so it turns out that reading aloud is a fantastic way to do all of those things. So we just tried to give practical help for parents who want to do the same.
That's great. And I am a huge reader. I have read to my kids before they were born. And my husband always says that's why they're good communicators, just because I read to them and I wouldn't shut up. But so the benefits of reading aloud to kids, name the top three, let's say.
Well, the first probably one that most of us may have heard before is the academic benefits. And we know that reading aloud is the number one way to help your child succeed in reading, which ends up being very foundational, of course, to their success as adults. Another compelling benefit, I think, that maybe gets a little bit less attention but is no less important, is that we know that kids who read a lot or who are read to a lot as kids, they end up growing into adults who are kinder, more compassionate, empathetic people. And this makes sense when we think about how every time we read a story, we are putting on someone else's shoes and walking a mile in their shoes. And so if we give our kids hundreds of stories, they're basically getting hundreds of hours of practice walking in the shoes of someone else, and they become kinder, more empathetic people. That's a big benefit, especially today. I think most of us really have this longing for our children to be kind, compassionate human beings in the world today.
We could all use it. Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And then I think probably one of the other main big benefits is just that it inspires our kids to realize they can overcome hurdles in their own life. Because just like when we're reading a story, it lets them slide into the shoes of someone to walk a mile in their shoes. It also gives them practice facing obstacles over and over again, because every story we read is about a character who encounters a huge obstacle and has to try to overcome it. And so they get this practice of realizing that even in what seem like insurmountable odds, they have what it takes to face really hard things. And they've actually just witnessed, hundreds of characters in their favorite books do the same thing.
Right, right. And it's, I think it's also good, like you said, there's something going on in a story. It's usually something dramatic, but it's there's some conflict. There's conflict resolution. Mm-hmm. There's resiliency. I see a lot of that too in the books my teenagers are reading. So what happens if you can't get your child to read at any age? I know from even my older teenagers, they have to read these books in school, and my goodness, they're boring. And I'm like, you've got to keep going. I don't know how else to really motivate them, because some of them I've actually read and I kind of agree with them. So.
Oh, so true. It's so funny, because when I think about the books that I read for school or I had to do book reports on, those aren't the books that I would stay up late reading in bed or reread
right.
As soon as I finish it.
Exactly.
So there's a whole chapter in the new book, The Read Aloud Family, on creating a book club culture at home, because I think this is really of paramount importance if we're trying to help our kids become readers on their own. We treat our children's reading lives very differently than we treat our own. If you think about a book club that a normal adult would go to, you're thinking, usually I'll gather there with my girlfriends and we'll all eat some snacks and have something to drink, and we'll be having some casual conversation that revolves around open-ended questions. And it's not about finding out if your friend read the book. You don't walk into book club and they hand you a quiz to find out if you actually read it, or
true.
Ask you to bring a 5-paragraph essay or whatever. It's just about conversation about the big ideas and the things that happen in the story and how they impact us. And I think if we can sort of shift our engagement with books at home to look more like book club and less like school, it can really change the tide as far as what our kids see reading for. There were some really interesting studies that showed that kids whose parents think the primary use for reading is academic success, they actually read a lot less, and they are poorer readers than kids whose parents believe that reading is primarily a source of entertainment. So if we help our kids see reading as a form of entertainment, which is, I think it's especially hard right now, especially with screen taking up so much time and attention, and it's really hard for a book to compete with a phone, even for most of us adults, right?
Yes, yes. Well, and you know what I told my kids too is they – we can all read books on our phones too. I mean, I sit at their practices and that kind of thing, and I'm reading a book, or, and I also download audiobooks because I'm also in a book club and have very little time. So I said, you know what, even if you have to, I remember my 15-year-old last semester was reading a book, and I said, you know what, Grace, if you're just not, get the audiobook. Do you personally have a problem with that, Sarah? If I said, get an audiobook in case, instead of reading the physical book, she couldn't, like, literally was struggling to read this book.
Okay, so there's two really big things we're going for with shared stories. One is grammatically correct and sophisticated language patterns coming in through the ear. That's a huge benefit, not coming in through the eye, but through the ear. And we get that with when our parents read aloud to us, or we also get it through an audiobook. The other thing that we're really going for is a shared experience of both reading a story and being able to talk about it or experience it together. And an audiobook, especially if you listen to it in the car or something, does that. But there is... There's been some interesting research showing that what happens when kids listen to books, or when people, not just kids, when people listen to books, in the brain, the parts that are activated are all exactly the same parts that are activated when you read the words from the page. The only, I mean, that's some oversimplifying it a little bit, but the main benefit to having your kid read the book itself from the page is to help them become better at reading words, you know, decoding the words.
Word recognition, right.
Yeah. So if your goal is that you want to get that book into your child, then there's no preference to having them read it rather than listen to it. Listening to it is just as good.
Right. Awesome. Okay. So thank you so much, Sarah McKenzie, for joining us. Again, the website is readaloudfamily.com, and the popular Read Aloud Revival podcast is at readaloudrevival.com. Thanks so much, Sarah. And when we come back, we're joined by Angela Cuff, author of What a Tragedy. She's going to be talking about travel. We'll be right back.
This is Mom Talk Radio, the number one podcast for busy moms, Mom Talk Radio.
For this segment of Mom Talk Radio, this is Marion for Maria. I'm pleased to welcome Angela Cuff. She is the author of What a Tragedy, and she grew up in Miami. So we are actually neighbors, Angela, because we're up in Fort Lauderdale. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you for having me.
So we're going to talk about travel. You love to travel, and it certainly I do too. I always want to just, after I talk to you, I'm going to want to basically book a trip somewhere. So tell us a little bit about your travel experiences, and is there information on that on your website, which, by the way, is CheyenneCuff.com.
Correct, yes. Well, traveling for me is gives me a new perspective on life itself. It gives me new ideals and things to look forward to. I want to quote something out of my book, because traveling has birthed out of me this book called What a Tragedy. And in this chapter, I compare our taste buds to life. And in that chapter somewhere, I quote saying, life is like our taste buds. It changes, because when we introduce our physical self to the things of life, it becomes a part of us. When we acquaint ourselves with the unfamiliar, that which it is, we learn, and what we learn, it changes us and our routine as a whole. So, you know, traveling soothes my soul in that way, because when I acquaint myself with the unfamiliar, I learn a lot through people, through circumstances, through activities, things that I engage myself in, you know. So traveling itself has given me confidence to take on things that I've never thought that I would be able to.
Definitely. That's great. And you know, I just got back last week from, I was at, out in Colorado on a family ski trip. And I think for kids, again, obviously age appropriately, I try to step back and let them navigate an airport and figure out some things. And as they've gotten older, what's your opinion on that? I mean, I feel like it just gives them, as you said, it's so much of a putting yourself out there and learning things and experiencing things and seeing things that through other people's locations.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. So I like to compare kids to blank discs. And I say that because as parents, I don't have any kids. I have a lot of nieces and nephews.
Right.
And, so with my experience with them, I like to compare them to a blank disk because, you know, as parents, you know, you give them memory. You know what I'm saying? And one thing about kids, they have good, I'm sorry, I kind of choked that. They have good memory. You know what I'm saying? And so, as a child, when you introduce a child to something new or to a new environment and new things, you give them memory. You know Absolutely. What I'm saying? As a parent, and not only that, you give them something to talk about. And as parents, you know, as busy parents are, you tend to forget sometimes. And kids have this tendency to remind you as their parent, "Mommy, remember when we did this? Remember when
right.
we did that?" And
yeah, good point.
It makes you feel really good, you know, as a parent, you know, to know that your child remembers that. So, you know, when it comes to traveling, you know, I just think that itself it kind of pushes on, you know, good memory on a child. And on top of that, you know, kids have really big imagination. You know what I'm saying? And one thing about that, when you introduce a child to new things and new places, you add on to their imagination. So I definitely would, you know, yeah. recommend and advise, you know, for a parent to introduce a child to something new, you know, to give them a new perspective on life and to let them know that there's more to life than the environment that they were raised in.
Very, very good point. I 100%, 110% agree. Give us, we only have about a minute left. What does it contain? What can our listeners find when they pick up your book, What a Tragedy?
Definitely, yes. Yeah. So my book, What a Tragedy, is about life. And that title came about when, I use that title on my book because I believe that, you know, like my book is going to help a lot of people simply because we all have different personalities. We all have we've been raised in different environments. And I feel that when the things of life come upon us, depending on our mentality and our personality, it depends on how we handle the tragedies of life. And that's why I feel that it is a tragedy because, like I said, depending on who you are, how you were raised, your mentality depends on how you go about life. And
right.
that's why I feel the tragedy comes in at because, you know, we've all been raised in a different environment and we've all been raised so differently. And what seems right to you may be wrong to me and, you know, and vice versa. And so
right.
that is what a tragedy entails on. Definitely.
Great. All right. So it's called What a Tragedy. You're also working on a second book. We can find information about Angela Cuff and her books at CheyenneCuff.com. That's C-H-E-Y-E-N-N-E Cuff, C-U-F-F.com. And this link will be available on MomTalkRadio.com next week. And after this short break, we'll close out the show.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
On this last segment of Mom Talk Radio, I'm pleased to welcome Michelle Pascal. Michelle is a French author, meditation teacher, singer, filmmaker, photographer, quite an impressive resume. In addition to that, he is the author of 20 books, his 20th being the latest just published called Meditation for Daily Stress. So we're going to really chill on this segment, right, Michelle?
Hello, Maria. So happy to be with you.
So this is your 20th book, is that correct?
Yes, 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 yes. I have published 19 books in French, but now I become U.S. citizen. So my new book is in English, Meditation for Daily Stress. How can we feel better in our daily life?
Okay, well, congratulations on your citizenship. What made you want to write this book, and how is it? Is it a departure from your other books? Is it different from your other books?
It's different because I think we need to feel better immediately in our world. I mean, when I say that, it's extremely important for me that spirituality must be concrete. Very concrete, very simple, very efficient. So I see everywhere around me the disaster of the stress. Everyone is so stressed, and when we are stressed, we are sick because we know in neuroscience, when we put electrode on the brain, if you are stressed, you destroy your immune system. If you are stressed, you destroy your neuron, your stomach, your heart, your blood pressure. So how can we be less stressed immediately in our daily life? This is exactly the book.
Okay, so actually you're talking to the perfect audience because moms are busy. So tell us just a quick peek then without giving the book away. It's short meditation exercises, is that correct? That's the body of the book?
Yes, exactly. It's 10 practices, very okay. simple, that we can do anytime, anywhere. You say all your friends, mommy, are so busy. Me, I say every day, my schedule is busy. Not me.
Right. Right.
Not me.
Well,
no, it's
right.
very important because most of time, I teach many times for mummies. And most of time, we have a wrong perception of meditation. I mean, we have the perception of, I must take a lot of time today to train my mind, to meditate, to be sitting down in a lotus position, for example, etc. But this is a cliché. It's not like that in a monastery. Me, I come from a monastery in the Himalayas. We never do that. It's a cliché that we have in America from Hollywood. I know I live in Hollywood, but it doesn't help because for the mummy who listens to you, she has a lot of pressure. She is very busy, children, job, husband. How can we say to a mummy, oh, my friend, you have work 15 hours today. Now you must be sitting down, take a deep breath and meditate. It's not like that. It's
okay.
not like that, that we can be calm.
That's a good distinction because it is, to me, seems to calm my mind for that. It's just, I don't know how I would do it. But it's interesting, though, because you're right. It is so much tied between just your whole, the mind-body connection and your health and your overall wellness to meditation. And I just saw an article actually on online a few weeks ago about this. So tell us then where our listeners can find your book.
Oh, Barnes & Noble's, in Amazon, in every bookstore in America. And also you can go on my website, michelpascal.tv. And every day you have a lot of videos and guidance to learn with me.
Right. And it's michelpascal.tv.
Exactly.
And we have about 30 seconds. So I just wanted to ask you then so you said it's very quick and easy and it's not, it's kind of over dramatized by Hollywood, let's say. So give us what you think is the best tips for moms to, of course, buy your book, but then to get into meditation. What's the first easiest steps?
The book is 10 practices to feel
okay.
more calm immediately in our daily stress, at the workplace, in our family, in our car, in the traffic. The first practice of the book, it's what we learn in a monastery, to be sitting down like a mountain, to feel more stable, to have less thought in the mind when the brain is running all time, to meditate like a mountain, to be more grounded, more stable, to breathe like a mountain.
That's wonderful. Okay, so that's Michelle Pascal, michelpascal. And the book, again, is called Meditation for Daily Stress. Thank you so much for joining us, Michelle, and best of luck with the book. Thank you all so much for listening to this episode of Mom Talk Radio. Maria will be back behind the mic next week for another great show. Thanks for listening.